Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host out here in Las Vegas. Your other host is in Denver, Colorado. That's James Salinas in a Mile High City. James, where are you with instant replay in Major League Baseball? It's like they should get it right, right?
Well, I think that's for any sport. Fritz, right. We have these. If you're going to do it, and especially with today's technology, and we have, are they back to standard definition? I'm not sure what some of these. Who's in these booths? And I know that it's not the umpires there at the game that are looking at it, like the NFL, where they go underneath the hood. But still, I mean, with today's technology and how you can dial into, and I'm no techie by any means, but you would think you'd be able to see what's going on. We can see. If I can sit here at home, and if you're talking about last night with the Phillies and the Braves, where clearly, he slid, but you know, with the cleat bounced up over the you know, to the naked eye right there, bang bang play. I get it from the umpire's perspective. You it's so hard to see in real time that he didn't touch the plate because he beat the thrower, he beat the tag, but never touched the plate. So yeah, when it comes to replay. You know, maybe I'm just old school too. If you're going to do it right. Otherwise, I would say for all of them, let's just play. Get out there.
Yeah.
It's part of the errors. Human error, it happens in the game. I get it. Did you hit the baseball every time you went up? Did you make every solid pitch? Did you walk anybody? Like, there's going to be errors that happen or miscue, or you're not going to play perfect. Umpires are going to make some bad calls too. And I know we don't want the game to have to change on a bad call. But, you know, when it comes to replay, yeah, you got to get it right. So if it means more investment or more eyes on it, I don't know what it means. All I know is with replay, it just continues to slow the game down. And I think for baseball, they don't need any help slowing the game down. It's slow enough as it is.
When it comes to betting, too, and I agree with you on that one, when it comes to betting, too, I mean, it's like you want to feel comfortable out there, too. So whether a hitter leans into a strike and the umpire is going to call a strike and yet, okay, you can't overturn that, and then the call at the plate. I think baseball, they don't want to show up their umpires, because if they show up their umpires, you know what's next? Lasers. We're not going to have umpires for balls and strikes.
Yep.
And so I think Major League Baseball is kind of doing that, kind of defending the umpires right now. So as bettors, we're going to have to live with that. Phillies are taking on the Mets. They're on the road again, James. They're plus 125, 8.5 is the total in this one.
Yeah, I was looking at this, and I'm not going to play it. I don't think they're going to play the game, and they shouldn't have played the game yesterday, Pritch. So when I started digging into it, I look at weather, which way is the wind blowing out, right? It may not need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows, but if you want to bet on it in some of these stadiums, you definitely want to know which way that wind is blowing. And we were watching, I was on with Adam Candy yesterday with Betting Across America, and we saw it was an early start right when we were getting going, and we saw that why are they even starting this game in New York with the Mets? Stroman was on the hill. Hey, what'd he throw, like 7, 8, 9 pitches? And then they called it. They pulled him off. It was like there was no reason to even start there. If you looked at the forecast, didn't think the game was going to be played anyhow. The fact that they tried to put it out there, really poor judgment from the umpires to get the game going. And then that's a lesson for us as sports bettors, especially baseball bettors. If you're betting, it's one thing. If you're betting for pitchers, you're betting for action. Different, right? Listed pitchers, you know, with Stroman, let's say he does and they throw it. They were trying to wait it out. They waited out a couple hours and then finally called the game. But let's say, Pritch, that game would have actually went. And they sat for 2 or 3 hours. Stroman's not going to be able to go back out on the hill, but you bet him. And if that was in particular pitcher A that you liked and you bet listed pitchers, now he did actually get the start, but you know full well if you sit for 2 or 3 hours, he's probably not going to get back out there on that mound. Now you're stuck with that bet. So I think it's really key, especially in the month of April and some of these states where we know you have these late afternoon thunderstorms come in a lot. And now in the month of April, really wet month across the country in a lot of states. And a lot of cities got to look at those weather reports. So here I'm looking at this weather report, 80% chance of rain all day long. I think they're going to learn their lesson from yesterday. I'd really be surprised if they try to get this game going, because it's supposed to rain throughout. I'm just looking in Queens, New York, right, which is where Citi Field is, looking at it's raining now. It's going to rain all day. I suspect they won't play it. So no need to really try to get into something. It's more so just lesson learned. If you're going to bet it, make sure you know the weather and know the difference between listed pitchers and action.
Right. And that's spot on right there with that advice and certainly knowledge too, James. I mean, for anybody, casual bettors, just don't look at the schedule, look at games and matchups. Okay, I like this team, I like that game, I like that situation. You got to check out everything, weather included, especially when it comes to baseball and those starting rotations and what teams could adapt to, what they might have to change to. How about Texas Rangers and the Tampa Bay Rays. I think you got Dunning versus Glasnow on the bump there for both of these teams.
Yeah, no, Dunning's one of their he's a pretty good young kid, good starter for them, for the Rangers. I don't think there's going to be a lot of runs scored in here, but, you know, that total is reflective of that seven. Those used to be standard totals in baseball. Now that's really seems really low, and I get it from this standpoint with the Rangers not being able to hit the ball very well. They're not hitting the baseball. The last, you know, they got no hit on Friday. That weekend series against the Padres, they scored six. I think that actually the Rangers have scored six runs in the past four games. So not putting the bat on the ball and driving runs in. Now you're going to go face Glasnow, which is the ace now of the Tampa Bay Rays. But I was looking, so we started digging. I think we talked about it this first hour, right? With trying to find, now that I have some access to some different player props, in particular with pitchers, looking at, well, how long does this pitcher, who is kind of similar to what we talked about with the Yankees, right? And looking at with Cole going, because that bullpen got really taxed for the Yankees in that three-game set against Tampa. Well, kind of the same thing with the Rays. On Saturday, Chris Archer went down in the third inning. He went down with an injury. They had to get into their bullpen. They used six pitchers in that game on Saturday. They also, they did the opener approach yesterday with the young kid who pitched really well for two innings. I forget his name. That went it for Tampa, but he only pitched two innings, and then they went to the bullpen as well. Six pitchers were used yesterday, so I think this is a case where they're going to need Glasnow to eat some innings, and what better team to go and eat innings against than a light-hitting Rangers team right here. So let's dig into some of those props. Now, this one's kind of juiced too high, but looking at those outs, 17.5 outs for Glasnow, it's crazy juiced high. I get it. It's $1.75. If I was going to play that, I'll probably look to parlay that with something, because that's too much juice for me to lay. But that's just saying 17.5 outs to get the over here. He's got to pitch six innings, I think, against this Rangers team, and the fact that they need him to eat innings, I think that's the way to go there. Find a good parlay with it, and there's a couple other here that we can pair it with. And then his strikeouts too, they're kind of high at 8.5, but he has the capacity to do that. And at +100, I think that it's correlated. Rich, it's going to be, is he going to extend and they're going to pitch him more? He does work a lot of deep counts because his secondary pitches, he doesn't get them over for strikes and relies a lot on deep counts and fastballs to strike people out. I think the K's are going to be there because I think he's going to be able to going to need him, are the Rays and Kevin Cash, to pitch deep into this game. So it's kind of correlated that way, and it's +100, so it's even money over 8.5 against that hitting, that light hitting Rangers team. I like that piece too.
I know you look at the lineup for the Rangers and okay, light hitting like you mentioned, but then Glasnow, does he have control over all everything? I mean, is he a guy who can command, right? And I know he can be powerful with that fastball, but can he command with all the other stuff that he has?
Yeah, and I think if going up against this Ranger team, he may not even try. Maybe he's going to work on trying to get some of those secondary pitches when he's behind in the count and throw those and see if he can get those over for strikes or get hitters to chase, even if he falls behind. But I think in this case here, he'll revert back to his fastball. He does work upstairs. He does work up in the zone a lot. But, you know, this is just a Rangers team that just can't hit the baseball. But here's the thing. Even if they do get, and he does walk a few people out there, if he gets into jams, you know, they're going to let him pitch. I just feel like they need, there's a couple, we've talked about them, right? There's a couple starters, and there's some ace starters going today where these managers need them to eat some innings, and I think they're going to expect that out of Glasnow. And he can work deep. He can throw 110 pitches. They'll go with it. So that's where I kind of correlate it with the outs as well as the K's. Now, I don't recommend hitting the outs at 17.5 going over that at $1.75. That's a big price to pay, but there's plenty of other plays where you can parlay that with something else and not have to hit the not have that juice hit you.
Is this against the nature of Tampa Bay, though, to go against the analytics here? And, okay, Glasnow, here's a ball. We're not even going to touch you. We're not even going to communicate with you. We need at least six innings from you tonight.
Well, and I think they did that yesterday with the opener piece, right? But with also with Archer going down the way that he did on Saturday, he didn't pitch deep. He pitched well and threw that slider, and good old Yankees love to chase pitches way out of the zone, and they did. But this is where the fact that they've had to use six pitchers both on Saturday and Sunday, this is the opportunity for Glasnow to go eat some innings, and pitch count's probably going to be up there. And actually, maybe it doesn't have to throw as many pitches just against this Rangers team that just doesn't get the baseball.
I can't see it right now. Let's go with the Miami Marlins and the Atlanta Braves. I'm digging the Braves uniforms. Like I said, I've been a Braves fan all my life, and, you know, a little throwback design there with their uniforms. How about them at home Great stadium, too, by the way. Minus 132, 8.5 is a total against the Marlins.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at the first five going under here. You know, with Alcantara, I really like. He's a fireball, right? Yep. He's the ace of that Marlins team. It's always going to be third start already, so coming around. But I think this is the opportunity here with the Braves team. I don't know. They're still a little upset from last night and what happened with the replay or the lack of eyes on the replay and making that call. I don't know. It's just neither teams are hitting the baseball right now. Both teams are hitting basically at 215, so light hitting teams. We know the Braves, they can hit the ball to the ballpark, and it's a good lineup, and they are going to start hitting the baseball as the season progresses. A lot of times, Pritch, we know it's so early. It feels like we see so many games because it's a full schedule every day,
yeah.
But we haven't even played two full weeks in the Major League Baseball season, and pitching is going to be ahead of the hitting in most cases, and that's what's happened for both the Braves. Marlins are a light hitting team anyway, so I was looking first five under. It's juiced now. It was at $1.05 the other way, but now it's 4.5 under $1.20. That'd probably be the only play I would make here, just with the pitching matchup with Alcantara going up there, and we know the Marlins are just struggling to hit the baseball right now.
Yeah, they are struggling, and I wonder why, too. I mean, I think a lot of people are excited about the Marlins moving forward off of last year. With the pitching, certainly, they got to get that hitting in order. Cubs and the Brewers, maybe a chance for that parlay here, James. Cubs, you know, they're an interesting club right now. They're plus 120 on the road facing the Brew Crew. 8.5 is a total.
Well, and here we go again. I think I want to check the roster or the lineup. There was a couple of injuries to the Brewers yesterday. Finally got the bats hitting this weekend against the Cardinals, but Yelich went down. I think he's in and out of the lineup with a bad back. He didn't finish the game yesterday with a back injury. I think that flared up on him. And then Shaw at third base, he fouled the ball off his foot. So let's see if they're in the lineup today or not. That's part of it. But talk about light hitting. Rich, that's the Chicago Cubs right now. Yeah. No one's hitting the baseball. They are not hitting the baseball. It's socially distanced at the plate from any kind of putting the ball in play right now. They're hitting 167 as a team early this season here. And I just think here's a deal where the Brewers, their bullpen is set up. It's one of the better bullpens in baseball. Devin Williams and Josh Hader both ready to go tonight. So they'll have fresh arms. And I know it's weird to say fresh arms this so early in the season, but just like some of we talked about that series with talking about the Rays and the Yankees, how deep they had to go into the pens all weekend long. Well, here for the Brewers, their bullpen is ready to go. So I was looking at team total under at 4.5 runs. It is juiced to $1.55 for the Cubs going under 4.5. So there's a potential parlay right there. We talked about it with Glasnow over 17.5 outs, juiced $1.75. I could parlay that with team total for the Cubs under 4.5 runs at $1.55 too. Big juice, but parlay those together. Now you're getting better plus money. I like it.
All right. James, we have some breaking news from the National Football League. This is big news. The Patriots have terminated the contract of wide receiver Julian Edelman. Per the wire, he's listed as a failed physical. Now, I knew he had issues with that knee, and talking to some folks, he's been a guy that, you know, I think the Patriots have been looking at and wondering if he's going to be able to go. But here you go. He's failed a physical, and therefore they're going to terminate that contract there.
Yeah, well, and the last, really, that's the veteran presence on the offense as far as the wideouts go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, you know, he's getting up there and has some knee injuries, but has he been there since 2009? So, I mean, that's all he knows, and that's all that's got to be a tough move, right? That's where it's
to say goodbye.
It's
yeah, I know.
It's not personal. It's
no.
business. And unfortunately, that you come to a point, right? He only played six games last year, and once you get to that point, right, where it's just like, well, this is your body can only go so far. There's so many miles on it, and unfortunately for Edelman, there, terrific Patriot, and what a tough, gritty player. Every route there, and not afraid to mix it up, running between the hashes and running those pivot routes in there the way he did. Special player and really perfect fit there with Brady, but unfortunately for him, physically just can't do it anymore, at least not with the Patriots right now.
Yeah, you know, you wonder if he'll land somewhere, though. I don't know, maybe in Tampa. Maybe he'll pass a physical somewhere else, right? You know how that works. But then also, we talked about Odell Beckham Jr., you know, in Cleveland with these they're open to trading Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, I know Nelson Aguilar went up there to New England, but you know, you can never surround Cam Newton at this point of his career with enough weapons, and you just don't know who else is going to be available right here.
Well, and I don't know if Cam Newton is going to actually play all 16 games as the starter there either. I feel like there's something else going to be coming out of Bill Belichick. Definitely made a ton of moves free agency-wise on the defensive side, as well as the opt-outs that are opting back in this year, which is going to be key for them.
Yeah.
They're not used to losing up there. Belichick is definitely not looking to rebuild. I don't know how many years he's left got as a coach, but I think there's something else that's going to be happening, especially at the quarterback position. So it starts with quarterback. For me first, regardless of who he has as a wideout, I don't think Cam Newton is going to be the answer for a full 16 games come 2021.
Okay, look out for the revenge of the hoodie, though. Missed the playoffs. He desperately wants to get back to the playoffs. And Edelman, say goodbye. Brilliant career up there. A lot of great football from Julian Edelman from the New England Patriots as well. The guy was a beast in Super Bowls. He really was, and unfortunately has any injuries. When we continue with the program, we're going to stick with baseball and continue with the schedule. All that and more coming up next. Life is a marathon, not a sprint, unless you're hiring. Fortunately, Indeed has great tools that help speed up the hiring process. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas, your host today. And James, continue with baseball, Nationals and the Cardinals. I think people are upset out there in the Mile High City about Arenado and his curtain call. I mean, I don't know why. He just can't let that go. But Arenado's doing great right now with the Cardinals. They're minus 145 in this game against the Nationals. 8.5 is the total.
Yeah, I'm looking at the first five here, okay. And I think we've seen – and I'm looking at the first five, and I'm looking at the total here, and it's really based on the matchups here as far as the pitching goes. And I know for the Nationals, you know, with the COVID to start the season and you know, it's impacted a number of players on that roster, including within the lineup, and then not getting out there to play and now starting to get themselves back to where, all right, the roster's starting to – finally get through the COVID piece and get healthy. Takes a little time, you know, and then the timing piece of pitching ahead of the hitting. But in this case here, looking at the pitching, this is another scenario, Pritch, just digging into what happens with these bullpens. They're going to need these starters to have to eat some innings. I think for John Gant taking the start, he's going to be the starter tonight for the Cards. You know, here's the interesting part for the Cardinals. Through the first nine games for St. Louis, their relievers have had more innings than their starters. So their starters are just getting hammered, right? And we saw that yesterday with Ponce de Leon. He didn't get out of the second inning. He just got blasted by the Brew Crew. It wasn't like the Brew Crew was hitting the ball very well until they got to see the Cardinals this weekend. But I think this is a case where, you know, that the bullpens, even though it's so early, it feels like, you can't tax the bullpens this early. I think here, the fact that the relievers have pitched more than the starters for the Cards, they're going to ask John Gant have to eat some kind of innings today. And then on the other side, I'm not exactly sure how to the pitcher for the Nationals, really just a fill-in, Eric Fady is what he's going to be tonight. I think he's not really a quality Major League Baseball pitcher by any means. He got hammered the first week against Atlanta, gave up 6 runs, 3 walks, couldn't locate, couldn't get through the second inning here. So I was looking, maybe there was a prop there, something or other, too big a juice on that, but first five total over five for these two teams, laying at $1.05, so juice to the under here. I'm just not seeing this pitching matchup here. And I know the Nationals have been light hitting to start the season due to everything we talked about, but also just getting off a series against the Dodgers and that starting pitching, that's not easy to have to face either. So that'll hurt your batting average too. So I think here the Nationals are going to be happy to get out of Los Angeles, go see Gant, who's going to have to work through some jams because they're not going to go to that bullpen early. I think we'll see some runs in those first five, those five innings. So I'll hit the over at five between those two teams, first five innings.
James, as you think about the pitching matchups too, and certainly pitching maybe ahead of hitting, and some circumstances, right? But you're looking at all these pitchers, a lot of them, majority of them. I mean, they all throw hard. I mean, we're talking about 90, 95, right? I mean, so at what point hitters, they're going to see these pitchers that just throw hard and they're going to catch up to that, certainly. But you got to gauge that as a better. So this next game, for instance, Detroit and Houston, you got Greinke on the bump for Houston. He's not out overpowering you, but yet he's locating, he's commanding, and he's lasting, what, six, seven innings at points in games. And so I look at this matchup, minus 220 for the Astros at home. It's a big number, but yet the pitching situation against this lineup against the Tigers.
Yeah, I think that comes down to knowing the hitters and what is their approach going into these games. You get a pitcher like Greinke, and yeah, he's not going to, you know, we got guys that hit 100 miles an hour on the gun now, and it's just you're used to it. It's a matter of, does the ball have any movement or not? That's why I kind of don't like Glasnow. His fastball's really flat. But getting back to Greinke, he pitches on the edges, right? He is not going to challenge you. He's not going to give in. He's down 3-1 in the count. He's not giving in with a fastball. He may throw a fastball, but it's going to be six inches off the black. So that's where he is now in his career, going to be crafty that way. And it really comes down to the hitter's approach to, are you willing to go with the pitch? He's not going to challenge me. I'm not going to get a fatty to hit down the center. Am I going to be willing to keep my hands in and go to the outside part? You know, he's going to pitch it away. Am I willing to keep my hands in and hit the ball the other way? It's a big number here with the Astros and with Greinke wanting to get themselves right. You know, they did lose a couple games in a row against the Astros over the weekend, or against the A's, excuse me, over the weekend here. But AJ Hinch makes his return to Houston tonight. I don't really know what that means with Hinch coming back now as the manager with Detroit. Mm-hmm. So to me, I was just like, well, I'll just lay out of here. But as far as pitching goes, yeah, Greinke being crafty and these other guys having no approach at the plate, that'll be something to watch tonight. You can bet those games in game, especially if you see it through the first time in the order, you can get a pretty good idea of their game plan going as far as the opponent and their hitting prospect.
Interesting development right there. No play at the beginning, but certainly keep an eye on the game. Plus 190 out here in Vegas for Detroit. When we continue with the show, Ben Fox, our VP of digital content, he's going to join the program and tell us about the Masters, all the betting that took place. That's coming up next. Sports betting action this spring is just getting started, and our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We give you all the tools to cash more tickets, including our 24/7 video coverage, complete odds and analysis on every game on VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every sport and point spread weekly. The weather and the betting action is heating up, and now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas, your host today, and in studio with us is our VP of digital content, Ben Fox. And before we get to the betting action, a little bit more news from the National Football League. Giovanni Bernard, formerly of the Cincinnati Bengals, has now signed a one-year contract with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, they need more help in the backfield there.
Well, I think there, you know, Brady likes to throw the ball to the back, and Gio, he's not a three down back, right? But he is definitely somebody that can get some carries outside the tackle, but also can catch the ball out of the backfield. So just another, yeah, you bet. You said it, Pritch. Just another target and another weapon for Brady to sling the ball around the house with.
And also potentially for the NFL draft betting, right? I think it was over under a half running back there in the first round.
One and a half.
So again, another landing spot potentially taken away, right? We saw last year with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the Chiefs, kind of a luxury pick. Maybe the Bucs don't necessarily go that way now in a more crowded backfield.
So true. And then Edelman, I guess people are thinking he's going to retire. So I don't know if he's going to end up in Tampa or not, but we'll see. James was talking about that knee earlier. Ben, the Masters betting, I was texting with James Salinas over the weekend, and that thing was intense. I just had Matsuyama to finish in the top 20, and yet I was sweating, even though he was in the final group.
That's a rocking chair bet there. Well,
he was in the final group, but yet I was sweating for him just because how he finished off and winning that Masters.
Yeah, I think the Masters, as you all see, this was the first one you said you were betting?
Yes, it was.
So there you go. Welcome welcome to the club.
Thank you.
I think golf's such a great sport, right? There's so many different ways to bet it, too. Mm-hmm. And so I think with the outrights, right, that was certainly what most people have. And as you would expect, not a lot of betting on Hideki Matsuyama before BetMGM. He was around like the 35th most popular bet, kind of 0.7%. Of the tickets, 0.6% of the handle. So again, generally it was the Jordan Spieth of the world, Justin Thomas of the world, BetMGM, Colin Morikawa as well. Actually, oddly enough, Lee Westwood before the tournament too. But those are really who they were concerned about. It was essentially a great result for most of the sports books to have Matsuyama win. And again, not that many people kind of picked up on him as the tournament went along. I thought that was interesting. He really only ended up at BetMGM with about 3% of the handle. So even going into Sunday, I think he was a slight favorite, you know, minus 115, minus 120 heading before Sunday's round. People, even with a four-shot lead, weren't really piling on into him there. So a good result for the books. Oddly enough, actually at South Point, not the best result. That was the one kind of loss. The one guy almost in the entire futures board, of course, Hideki Matsuyama wins. So there were a couple guys who had bet him. Chris Andrews said that was not a good result for them. But just about every other sportsbook, pretty happy with how it went.
Well, so Ben, last week we were talking about the Final Four and March Madness and all these big plays coming in on some of these college basketball teams, right? Teenage kids out there and guys are firing big six-figure bets. I'm curious when it comes to golf and in particular the Masters, I guess we can call it the Super Bowl of golf, right? That any what was not so much the handle, but any big notable bets that were put in? I'm just curious to see how does that, you know, when we talk about other sports, team sports, big bets coming in and then golf, how what is comparable when it comes to numbers, any big bets that were coming in on this golf tournament?
Yeah, so you know, James, as essentially you're always going to have a little less, certainly in the golf realm, because there's such high numbers, right? And so they're not going to take, books aren't going to take as large a number on a guy who's 100 to 1, 125 to 1, 150 to 1. So you're probably going to have those $1,000, $2,500 bets on some of the longer shots. The biggest one that BetMGM had was on Dustin Johnson. And that was $50,000 on him to make the top 10, finish in the top 10 at minus 115. Of course, he missed the cut, so that one goes by the wayside. A $20,000 wager on Max Homa as well for him to finish in the top 40. He also misses the cut. So you're sensing a pattern here with some of the larger ones. I thought an interesting one, too, $11,000 on will there be a playoff? The yes at plus money there, plus 350. Again, got close.
Yes, it
that
did.
Finishing that one shot. And then $10,000 as well on Dustin Johnson be the first round leader. That, of course, Justin Rose. So some of the larger bets, of course, also go the way of the book. This is why for most books it was a good Masters tournament.
And because you do have so many situations with golf, with betting, I was entertained, to be honest with you. I wasn't going crazy like some of these larger bets that you mentioned, but I'm looking forward to other majors to participate in golf betting. I think it's it adds to the excitement. I mean, again, it was intense to watch Matsuyama, certainly in the way that he won the tournament, but some of the other players that played and finished and played well and didn't play well, and so many different ways you can bet golf.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing as well is, like James has always said, with whether you're the derivative markets, right? Mm-hmm. If there's specifically in the NBA, maybe of a player prop that you like to focus on as opposed to the spread, or a team total instead of the game total. I think that was one area where bettors won a lot was on Jordan Spieth.
Okay.
Even though he doesn't win the tournament, obviously finished in the top five, so the top five bets, cash, top 10, top 20, and a lot of the matchups. It was him against Bryson DeChambeau, him against John Rahm, him against some of Dustin Johnson, some of the other top golfers. With Spieth winning last week, a lot of bettors just liked him at plus money in a lot of those matchups. So that was one where the bettors prevailed. And again, if you like one specific golfer, don't always have to have the outrights. Like you were the top 20 with Matsuyama, kind of can sit back and relax and know you're cashing that bet.
Yeah, well, and so you just talked about it too. Now we're through the Masters, other kind of future bets coming up. We were talking about for NFL. We have talked a little bit about the draft, and that's coming up next on deck for the NFL in just a couple of weeks. You had just talked about, you know, with Giovanni Bernard going to Tampa Bay, how might that impact the market on running backs taken in the NFL draft? What are you starting to look at? Because I think now that's going to be where heads are going to start to go to focus as far as the next short-term future bets.
Yeah, I mean, I think we generally know, right, that it's Zach Wilson going number two, Trevor Lawrence number one. So Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2. It seems like Mac Jones at minus 300. The one I was going to toss out, and it's, you know, we don't have that much time before the break. I thought Kyle Pitts, very interesting at number 3, 80-1.
80-1.
Mac Jones is minus 300 at BetMGM, but 80-1, it's an implied probability of 1%. Maybe toss a couple shekels, put him in there with George Kittle, see what that offense looks like. Again, very unlikely to happen.
Yeah.
80-1, though.
I don't know if I bet that one, Ben. Justin Fields plus 275. Mm-hmm. Maybe bet that one, though.
Yep.
They go 3 overall instead of Mac Jones minus 300. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Absolutely. Ben Fox, VP of Digital Content in studio. Coming up next on the program, Leans and Picks in the final segment here. So much to choose from. All that and more coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We all love home runs in Major League Baseball, especially if you are a new BetMGM customer. Turn $1 into $100 when someone goes yard during a baseball game. Sign up for the BetMGM app using VSiN100. And if you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Cardinals or Nationals, you'll get $100 if either team hits a home run. It's a new customer offer and paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Located in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan dissociated persons. Please gamble responsibly if you feel you have a problem. It's 800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana and Tennessee. Call or text a red line. 800-889-9789. Promotional offer is not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the show, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. And James, the basketball schedule in the NBA. Now, we haven't talked about props, player props, in a while because it's kind of hard. I mean, we talked about landmines, certainly, and trying to avoid situations and understanding the schedule, understanding injuries, and keeping up to date, up to the minute, really, with injuries or people that are not going to be available for certain teams. Where are you with player props, though, now, with 19 games remaining on the schedule?
Well, that's the challenge, Pritch, is because the player prop, you're expecting them, not that they're going to play 48 minutes, but you're expecting them to that certain player, unless you're betting against the human achievement and betting the under in some of these props, based on the fact that how many minutes are they going to get? We were talking to JVT earlier, right? We talked about the Bulls and the fact that a team like the Bulls with Donovan, yeah, I know they have an opportunity and probably to make the playoffs, but I don't think that was the intent for the Bulls and or Billy Donovan going into the season was we got to be a playoff contender and let's get one of those be one of the 7, 8, 9, 10 teams that plays the play-on playoff thing and then go forward. It's more so we're looking bigger picture. We're looking to the future. They made the moves accordingly. But the fact when you go back and you look at just like what happened last night with a game against Minnesota, it wasn't so much about let's put our best five out there. Let's go win this basketball game. It's we're trying to assess. We got 10 guys that are seeing the floor. 10 guys. There was only one player. LaVine was the only one that played more than 30 minutes in that game. Everybody else was in the teens and the 20s. Tells me right there that he's trying to figure out combinations of which team. Just because you start doesn't mean you're going to finish with some of these teams. And I think that's the challenge right there, Pritch. A game like that. Another game like the Nuggets yesterday where it was real clear watching both the second and towards the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter that Coach Malone with the Nuggets, it was all about trying to figure out combinations, who's going to work best, not only combinations on the floor, but maybe combinations with certain sets. We're going to run a few sets because certain players are going to facilitate because I just got to see what this is going to look like because they're looking bigger picture as far as the Nuggets going to the playoffs. So really tough to say, all right, well, you could have played Joker yesterday. Uh-huh. All right, he's been been averaging a triple-double. I think it was points, rebounds, assists, somewhere around 42, 43. He was right on pace. He was rolling halfway through. He was getting whatever he wanted through 2.5 quarters. As soon as he went to the bench, barely even came back because it was clear, we're going to let this bench get in there, and then they completely lost the lead, and he really didn't play much, any significant. He came back in the game later in the fourth quarter, but the lead was gone. The game was gone. You could see the energy and the effort was gone out of the Nuggets, too. So what am I looking at? Props. I got to be real clear that these players are going to play, or if I feel like they're not, I'm going to be looking more so under with certain props, Pritch, whether it's points, it's rebounds, whatever that is. Now it's kind of shifts as opposed to overs that I was playing earlier. Might start looking more at unders just based on probably less minutes being played out on the court.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, James, so looking at the standings and seeding perhaps, San Antonio is outside the top eight. They play Orlando tonight. Orlando's +7 at home. That means, San Antonio, they're laying 7 points on the road there. 217.5 is the total. If you are so inclined, where would you go with this game, knowing that San Antonio, 19 games left on the schedule, maybe can improve their seeding at some point?
Well, and trying to get themselves right before yesterday's game at Dallas, they had lost 10 of 12 and had really been, they made LaMarcus Aldridge is gone from that team. It's really much more of a smaller lineup. I guess when it comes to size, it was more like four guards out on the floor with the creaky old Poeltl out there staggering around at the five spot for the Spurs. But big emotional win for Dallas yesterday, or over Dallas yesterday for the Spurs. Dallas actually had a chance to sweep the season series for the first time in franchise history against the Spurs. Couldn't get it done. Spurs really got themselves right to want to come to play. Now, how much of that emotion carries over, and now you're going to go play a Magic team that this team, talk about that. Who's on the floor? Right. I mean, they let all their best players go, right? Mm-hmm. They shipped them all off at the trade deadline, and now it feels like it's just flat out, it's open run, right? Like you walk into the gym, Pritch, and you see some guys on the sideline. Hey, man, I need two more. You want to run? I got next. Right. That's what it feels like with Orlando because you just don't know who's going to play out there. I mean, they got buried again last night to a Milwaukee team that is really banged up. So, 124-87. I don't know who is playing, who's going to show up. I think the Spurs, there's only one play. It could be only the Spurs or nothing there. I'm not going to play it. I just feel like the emotional game last night, maybe it doesn't carry, maybe it carries over in the second half and just go grind out the win, but I can't lay points with the Spurs right now, even against a makeshift open run, put your name on the chalkboard and this who's going to play for the Magic. Nah, yeah, I can't play that.
There's no coaches out and pick up basketball either, right? Everybody's
that's basically what it is.
Everybody's
and I think, Pritch, that's what you see with teams like Orlando, teams like with Oklahoma City, and they've got some injuries to OKC too. They know some of their team going forward next year, but now it's kind of like open tryout in real time on the floor, not so much this year. Is who are we looking at as far as next season goes, as for being potential roster material here? As some of these teams you really got to tread lightly with. So, and a lot of times when it is open run like that, that they're not much defense played on that other side too. So you can look at playing some overs, but not with this game here. I don't want any part of the Spurs or the Magic.
How about Utah, who's at home against Washington, so dominant at home? They're laying 11, James. 235 is the total here. Is there a chance Washington can cover this number?
Well, part of it's going to be Beal, right? Again, questionable. He's been on again, off again. When he's on again, I mean, we saw it the other night against Golden State, hit that, you can call it a four-point play, never got touched, but flops his way to a four-point play and wins the game at Golden State. Then they proceed to go down to Phoenix and get rolled by the Suns. And here, I think with the Jazz, they can pretty much typically name their score in these games. It's just more so, all right, how are they looking going forward, knowing that I was talking about the Jazz schedule earlier. I think it's more so looking at it, but Jazz or nothing for me here, Pritch. Mm-hmm. But looking at the schedule, I mean, this is such a soft schedule coming up over the next 2 weeks for the Jazz. A really soft schedule. So there might be some opportunity here where you might see the Jazz start to, if you like some props here with certain players, they may be so far ahead, and especially just kind of going through the motions of some of these games, because they're going to be double-digit favorites outside of when they travel to Los Angeles over the weekend. They're going to be double-digit favorites in basically every one of these games for the next two-plus weeks. So do they finish out the fourth quarter? that remains to be seen to cover big numbers like that. So maybe if we're going to dig into the prop market, I won't dig in it for this game here, but maybe that's where you start to pull back and start to dial on some of the unders with some of the scoring leaders, guys like Spider Mitchell. I know Conley's probably not going to play again tonight, but I just don't see them playing significant minutes because they're going to be so far ahead. Start to sit guys in the fourth quarter. That hits. You won't hit your props going over if they don't play at least 30 some odd minutes, right?
Right, absolutely. I mean, it could be similar situation here too with Phoenix as they take on Houston, another big number, minus 12 for the Suns. 229 is the total in this one.
Yeah, and so just trying to figure out where the Suns are. Same thing here. I mean, they're competing right there, sitting at second in the West, and you got to kind of look at, all right, well, with Houston, you can name your score against the Rockets too, right? But somebody like Chris Paul, all right, we can dial things back again, especially when you look at they got a back-to-back situation tomorrow. It'll be – now, they are playing at home, but they played Washington and blew through them on Saturday. Now you're playing the Rockets who've, you know, this has been awful since Christian Wood's come back, but when he went down, what did they lose, 20, 21 straight, whatever that was? But game against Miami tomorrow, so back-to-back situation here. Maybe you start to look more to the bench, and I think we've seen Monty Williams goes to the bench. He's not afraid to go deep into that bench for minutes. This is probably the game here, so if anything, maybe that's it's so hard to say unders with some of these games, but pulling some of those starters out here, it's such a big number, Pritch. I'd probably say it's Suns and lay it, but you may not see some of these players in the second half, especially with the back-to-back on deck against a much better opponent in the Miami Heat.
Right, and James, injuries are a factor. I mean, Anthony Edwards, for instance, rookie of the year, he's minus 110. Halliburton's plus 175. LaMelo Ball is plus 210 in terms of rookie of the year. What about the MVP now? Does it get muddied here with how we're finishing the season, or your thoughts on where, you know, where the NBA MVP could go here as we wind down the schedule?
Well, you know what I'm hoping for, because I've definitely got a nice investment in Harden at a really good number, but, you know, he's got to get back on the court, and that, I think we take LeBron out of the play. Now all the talk's about Joker, right, and he's moved up there. But, you know, I'm going to tell you this, Joker and the rest of the Nuggets for that matter, but definitely Joker doesn't do himself any favors with all the flailing that he does, complaining to the officials consistently about every damn call down the floor. Just, you know what, you're a big fella. Play through some contact, deliver some blows, and initiate your own contact instead of constantly needing to feel like you can't play through kind of looking to the officials for help, wanting to get a call every time down. I know there's discussion here in Denver about he doesn't get to the free throw line enough. Well, I think part of that is subjective because the refs are tired of hearing him whine.
Right.
You may whine yourself out of the MVP if you don't be careful. He's putting up the numbers for it, but, you know, put your head down, go hoop, man. You don't have to cry to the officials every time.
Yeah, you got Embiid at plus 400 right now, and again, He lifts that team, certainly. It's going to be interesting, though. I mean, you thought that what you have with Harden was going to carry you through, but then the injuries, and hopefully we will see the big three. Great job on the program, James. We'll see you later on in the week. My guys in the desert coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mm-hmm.